Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation. Today's episode had some technical challenges in the audio aspect from our guest side, and I did not want to keep this amazing interview from you because it is chock full of wisdom and just, it was such a good conversation with such powerful information that I really, really wanted to bring this to you guys. And so I apologize for the quality of the audio. I was unable to edit it any better than I did. And I hope that you will work with whatever listening system that you're on to really be able to get through it. It's just so powerful. I had to include it in my released episodes because of the content, but I do apologize for the audio quality, which is not standard for us. But please enjoy this episode. It truly is powerful. Bring a notebook. It's chock full of wisdom. Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful you're back for another episode. I never take it for granted that you show up episode after episode, that you send in your feedback and your comments to successfuldiligence.com/contact, or that you leave those amazing ratings on the Apple Podcast platform. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It means more than you know. Also, the most fun is when I get your voicemail messages through the link in the show notes. I answer every email and every voice message personally, so keep them coming because you guys are amazing. So, listeners, today I have a treat for you. It is another amazing human to have a value-added conversation. This one is going to be meaningful and deep, so get ready. I have with me today Dana Parker, and she is an emotional resiliency coach who has over a decade of experience in coaching thousands of clients all over the world. She is no stranger to the idea that relationships are some of the most intricate matters that we will ever navigate in this life. And that is an understatement, y'all. And she has had the opportunity to put all of her training into practice when, over the course of just a few years, she left her job, left her religion, went bankrupt, and went through a divorce, as well as other personal issues that come along with that. And having experienced empowerment through these life changes, she now specializes in navigating life change with emotional resilience. Dana is the co-founder of Inner World Movement and is excited to be launching her group coaching program in September of 2021. It's called Reclaim You, and we will get into that in our conversation, but it teaches people the foundational principles to living their most empowered and fulfilling life. She has so much to share, so much to offer. Dana, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited to expose you, introduce you, have my audience experience you. And so for the listener who's like, okay, Michelle, who is this lady? It sounds really interesting. I want to hear more. Tell us who you are beyond the bio and how you came to do the work that you're doing.
Yeah, beyond the bio. So I'm Dana. I'm 35 years young and I have four amazing little boys that I love and adore. I love all things creative. I love painting. I love cycling. Those are some little things about me. How I got into this work actually started 12 years ago. 12 years ago, I was spending most of my days emotionally numbing, binge watching Netflix and movies and sleeping my days away. And I was emotionally overwhelmed. I had been stuffing a lot of trauma from childhood that no one knew about, and I didn't know what to do with it. And I felt in my soul this calling that I was meant for something more than just that. And I had two little boys at the time that I knew in my whole soul that I wanted to be a living example of living life to the fullest. And that particular kind of life just wasn't it for me. And so it put me on this track to really looking and searching for different tools, education, understanding, upgrading so much of me, and doing my healing work from those past traumas that were just weighing me down. So through that, it ignited this like amazing spark that I'm here to teach, uplift, and inspire, to educate people and to bless their lives. And so I, from that moment on, I really dedicated my life to learning, growing, and expanding, not only to transform my life, to be a living example to the people that I love and my boys, but also to really make a difference in this world. I want to be here. I love being here on this planet so much. And I want to soak up every moment, and I want to make every moment worth it. So, and a big part of that is helping people, supporting them and living their life to the fullest.
I love that. I love that. Wow. Four boys. Dana, I give you kudos, honor, and respect. That is incredible. So let me understand something, because when we walk through and navigate challenges in life, and you know, you've overcome so much and you've walked through so much and you've come out, you know, when you were talking, it was in my head, it was like scaling a mountain and coming out the other side. Yes. And to do that takes such fortitude. And I'm wondering if you can share with us some of that journey in more detail about, you know, being at the bottom, right? Yeah. Experiencing that trauma and that loss that you were talking about, and even that I mentioned in your bio. And how did you get through that to come out on the empowerment side?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And there's so many layers to it, but I'm going to bring in just some of the really powerhouse things that I think were just pivotal and really important in the process of this journey. I think one of the most important ideas that actually I had embraced before I even went into this journey, of all of these things happening in such a short time, was that I am not the thoughts I think or the emotions I feel, that they're my greatest teachers, that those things that are coming up are teaching me and showing me things, showing me the things that are calling for love and healing within me, things from my past, things that I carry generationally or culturally, that have been passed down to me, ideas, things like that. And those thoughts and emotions, those stories, as I became aware of them and understand what it is and be able to put words to it, it helped me understand what I value and what's most important to me. And, you know, going through all of those things where, I mean, I left my work. It was a huge community for me, really large community. I mean, I was speaking and training 200 to 600 people a month. And it was such a beautiful experience. And to you know, resign and to lose that community and then to go into a bankruptcy, that's, you know, that financial trauma, that financial stress. You know, I remember the day that I took the papers into our bankruptcy lawyers, and I had my kids in the car. It was summertime, and I took it in, and that week we had just found out that my husband at the time lost his job. And we went in, and they said, okay, now we're going to drain your bank account. And I still remember the feeling of total fear, the feeling and the emotion that I have no clue how I'm going to take care of these beautiful children. You know, what do I do from here? I had no clue that they were going to drain the bank account. And it was his last paycheck. What are we going to do? You know, and all those emotions and understanding that I'm not those, that as I allow those emotions, I don't fight them. I don't resist them. I don't suppress them. And there's little tricks and tools that you can use when they come up and it's not the time or place, but in that moment, you know, just allowing the emotion to come up and allowing the fear and being okay with it. When you're okay with emotions and you know that they don't define you, that they're showing things that are calling for love and healing, what happens is they flow through and out so much easier with ease. And it can be a painful experience when you're experiencing negative emotions, but when you judge emotions and you try to suppress them, they actually can last years sometimes because we hold it all in and we're bottling it up and it's not okay to feel. So many of us experience that. And so, I'm not the thoughts I think or emotions I feel. They're my greatest teachers. I learned that I was experiencing a lot of scarcity, a lot of fear around money. And I got to address a lot of those old ideas and beliefs. Many of us are carrying those from even like our grandparents who lived through the Great Depression. You know, there actually are studies that heightened emotional experiences change our chemistry in our body, change our body biologically, then those things are passed down. And so being able to work through those things and understand those things was so powerful for me. So
I gotta jump in here because you're going deep into this rabbit hole that is so phenomenal. And, you know, it's incredible. I was so drawn into your story. You know, you're standing there at the lawyer's office with, you know, the last paycheck from your then husband, the bank account being drained, not knowing. So the unknown and the fear and having that revelation, I'll call it, of I feel this. I am like consumed with emotion and yet I am not this emotion. I am not the thought. I am not the emotion. And it's interesting because my mother, who passed away, she taught me one of the gifts that she gave me was, I am not my behavior. So you're not what you do. You are who you are. Beautiful. But what your lesson that you're sharing with us is that what you think and what you feel is not who you are. And you can choose the meaning, the story that you attach to it and make it useful and purposeful to drive you towards an empowering, overcoming outcome, which is so powerful.
Yes, 100% so powerful. And let me tell you what came after that moment when they told me that. I went back to my car and, you know, here's my children. And I think most people would try to keep it together, be strong for your children. And I just let the tears flow. And it wasn't this over-exaggerated, like, you know, sobbing and crying. It was a just flow of tears. And my sweet little children, you know, my 12-year-old next to me, Mom, are you okay? And in that moment, knowing that I'm not my thoughts or my emotions, that they're my greatest teachers, and I'm not afraid of emotion, I said, yes, I will be okay. But right now I'm feeling a lot of emotion. And it's okay to feel emotion. And I think our children actually really need that. I just talked to a good friend this last week and she said, you know, my mom was a single mom and she went through divorce and she went through all these hard things. And I never saw her have a breakdown or experience emotions. And here my friend is, she's in the middle of one of the hardest times of her life going through a divorce and a messy experience. And she's feeling all these emotions. And she's like, my mom never did. And so am I weird? And I'm like, no, you're normal. And I think it's important that we don't fear our negative emotion, that we allow ourselves to feel it and to express to our children, it's okay. You don't have to be scared. I know how to take care of this. I've got me.
And I will get through it. Like,
and I will get through it.
And there's no shame in it. I think what you modeled for your son in that moment was, I'm feeling this and I'm releasing it because there's no shame in it. So it was teaching you, but it was also teaching him. Mm-hmm. And so that's so powerful too, is that when we allow ourselves to be in truth, sit with truth, mm-hmm. those hard things, you're right, it does release it, so we don't pass it on and carry it through a lifetime.
Exactly. And you know, the ripple effect of that, that same son. So a year and a half later, I ended up divorcing his dad. You know, we ended up divorcing, and that same son, you know, within that short time after we got divorced, came to me and said, Mom, I have to talk to you. I feel so angry at you. And he was able to now express his emotions, and me being aware of my stories and my stuff, I was able to put my emotions aside and be there for him in that moment.
And create a safe space for him to come to you. That is incredible. Yes.
And tell me more, son. Tell me all the things you're experiencing and feeling. And I'm not taking it on. I know in my head I'm not taking it on, but I'm hearing his experience of this divorce. And I'm there. And it was one of the most special moments I feel like I've ever had with my son to say, I know that was hard. That was so hard. And that has been hard. And it's okay to feel angry. And we'll get through this together. And know that I love you and I'm doing the very best I know how, and so are you. And I'll be here. I'll be here and I'll love you and we'll get through it. And he's been good. It was wonderful. And so the ripple effect of being that example has been profound in my life, honestly.
That is so powerful, especially for children, to give them that gift of a safe space where they're not going to be judged, they're not going to be shamed, and they learn the language to process hard things, because life brings you hard things.
Oh, yes. Especially boys. Yeah. You know, in our culture, there's this added layer of, it's not okay to feel emotions if you're a man, because emotions are weak. And so having four boys, I'm consistently saying, there's every emotion's okay. All of it is okay. What you do with it matters. What you do with that emotion, where you get it out and where you release it, does matter. We're going to make sure we're not hurting other people. We're going to make sure we're getting out in a healthy way. Here's those options. Here's what it looks like. And training and educating them as young children, it is a huge role for me and really important in the work that I do. Not to mention doing that with adults. You know, that's enjoyable and so great too. But
yeah,
again, my children have been my greatest reason why, my why.
Yeah. I mean, but what a gift you give to the world of, you know, healthy, emotionally literate men into the world who then have their own families and can teach that and pass that on.
Oh.
Because, you know, as they say, it's more proactive to raise a healthy child than to fix a broken adult, right? Or not fix, that's not the right word, but to transition
transform. To educate an adult how to heal is harder. It's less efficient. I agree.
And the time loss too, because I think when we sit with, and they call it repression, but it's really unreleased emotion and unreleased trauma.
Mm-hmm.
When we live with that, we lose time, you know, and that's time that we could be putting to more meaningful use to put our gifts into practice, to learn those lessons. Like you're saying, we're allowing life to teach us and then pass that lesson on, which is so important.
Absolutely. And we're missing out on connection to ourselves, connection to others. You know, those things, what I've noticed in my journey as I've been the observer of a lot of my thoughts and emotions, it takes up room. It actually takes up room to hold on to negative emotions and experiences, where it leaves little room for joy and love and peace and all the things that we really do want in life. You know, when we can let those things go, it makes room for what we really want to feel, what we really want to experience. And it is the pathway to those emotions that we're wanting to experience in our life.
Yeah, I completely agree. When you get into that flow, it is incredible. Now, you know, talk to me, because in your bio, you said that, or I said, that you really know intimately the intricacies of navigating relationships and the power of using emotion and the right questions to navigate relationships. Talk to me about how you help others to navigate relationships well.
Yeah, it has a lot to do with understanding the stories we tell ourselves. I think if we could sum up what is the root cause of all relationship issues, it's stories. The stories we make up about ourselves, about what somebody else does and what it means about us. And so what I love to do, and one of the most fulfilling experiences for me is really coaching people, individuals and couples, on their stories, educating them when triggers come up, because every single relationship is here to present triggers. And the trigger is not to say, you need to stop doing this. That triggers me. You have to stop doing this. No, the trigger is for accountability and healing within you. And it's not to say we don't set boundaries, but when you set boundaries from a place of trigger, you're doing it from a place of fear, from scarcity, from lots of emotions that aren't necessarily going to give you the best worth and what you really want. And so the idea here is in relationships, when you're triggered, when emotions come up, go within, get lovingly curious. What is this bringing up for me? What is this individual showing me that's calling for love and healing? Let me take accountability for that healing part. Let me work through those things myself. And then when I'm on the other side of all that emotion, when I'm in a level place, what's my boundary? What does that look like? How can I communicate that in a really healthy and empowered way? What are the words I could use? And so I kind of call it radical accountability, you know, with your triggers, being aware what's, and accountability is so interesting with people, because I've worked with people for the last 12 years, and you have this whole spectrum of accountability. You have the blamers on one side, the people who, it's constantly someone else's fault all the time. And then on the other side, you have, it's all my fault, right? And so the people who, it's all my fault, and I have to fix it all, and I'm the problem. And so, and everywhere in between. And so the question is, where in your life are you playing on that scale? And you're, you know, maybe at work, you're more of a blamer. Maybe at home, you're more of an over-accountable person. But where are you playing that? And then the powerful question I love to ask myself is, what's my part in this? What's my part? Because I was an over-accountable fixer. And with that, I felt like it was always all my fault and I had to fix everything. And that was a very defeating place to be in. Anytime somebody came to me with a really crucial conversation or an issue they had with me, I would go into here and it was defeating. I felt small. I felt like I did something wrong and I was bad. And so now I approach those conversations and those experiences with, okay, what's my part alone? And sorting that out that way, that's my powerhouse question that helps me so much to stay in a healthy space with accountability.
I love that. There's this spectrum of blaming everybody or everything's my fault, but really, and I love what you said, getting lovingly curious to ask the powerful question, what is my part? I think also a question you might sometimes not ask, but is there, is what can I learn from this, right?
Yeah.
And then how can I apply what I learn? But it helps to rewrite that narrative, rewrite that story, because I think you're right. You know, in relationships, we all come with our baggages. We all come with our packages, small and big. The people, some people help us unpack them. Some people add more stuff in them.
Yeah. And
the radical accountability, I love that phrase, because our life belongs to us and we are responsible for us. We're not responsible for other people. We're responsible for us. Even as a parent, you are responsible to provide, you know, the basic needs and for safety and all of that, but you're not responsible for someone's soul, you know, at a certain point. And that radical accountability of asking that powerful question, let me not blame, let me not take complete you know, complete accountability, because we don't have complete control over anything. But what is my part? Yeah. What can I learn? That is powerful to make every experience a useful and meaningful one. I absolutely love that approach.
Yeah. No, especially in parenting, this would be, if parents would really step into that with their children, I would say the two most valuable things would be, what's my part? When a child, you know, does something and fails, we often take it so personally as a parent. And then we go and we punish them for how they should be. Even though some of them don't know the rules, they don't know, you know? And it's like, then you're being
when they're learning the language.
Yeah. My youngest son, he's so cute, 5 years old. And the other day, something happened and he goes, Mom, I'm not from here. I'm still learning the rules. Like, remember. It's like, oh yeah, you're right. Come here, you're doing so good. You're right. We'll keep learning together. And it's just,
I love
so that. Cute. It's so true though. We're still learning the rules. Even some of us as adults are still learning the rules, you know? And so asking, what's my part? If a child is failing in grades, don't take it all on your responsibility as a parent. Okay, say, what's my part and what's their part, and then have conversations about how you can participate together in those things.
Yeah.
And asking yourself, what do I feel like my child's grades mean about me? You know, and that is where the source of frustration, hurt, and pain will come from. And if you can work through that before punishing a child, then you're going to come out and they're going to have consequences in their life that will be way more profound and powerful and empowering for them. Sometimes even natural consequences, you'll just let that ride out because you'll have worked through your own stuff about what their performance means about you as a parent.
Yeah. And you won't be projecting your issues to them, and they can develop their own issues because we all have them.
They will. Absolutely.
Life just brings you those opportunities to learn and to grow and to challenge yourself. I really love your approach. So if you had to think about, a couple things before we transition into really some details about what you do, for the audience, what are the like one or two things you really want to highlight about what we've been chatting about?
I would say, I think more than ever, it's an important time to be lovingly curious about your patterns, your habits. When you have huge emotional reactions, instead of reacting and spewing all over people, take a step back and ask yourself, why am I experiencing this? You know, what is this about? What am I feeling? And then what do I feel like it means about me? And that space is a space of empowerment, because then you're understanding where those things are coming from. And most of it you can track back to impactful experiences from childhood and from your life. And so most people just leave it at, I'm feeling scared, or I'm feeling fear. It's like, well, fear about what and why, you know? And once you find those things, once you dive into those things, which that you can take so much courage to do, to really come to that place. I would say that the next thing that would be so valuable and so important, and more of us could use this, is love. Just you in those moments, those are the most tender parts of you. And those spaces are calling, begging for your love. Not for your pointing of the finger and scrutiny and I have to improve and make this better and I have to be perfect. No. Just love. And when you love those spaces, and when you can offer yourself kindness as you would a friend or a child that you just adore, then things start changing. You actually, that is one of the greatest forms of self-love, and you're expanding your ability not only to love yourself, but that expands your ability to love others. And there's so much power in that. And in that, it can release your attachment to that. And then you're free to move forward into something different. And from there, I'd say the last thing is, what do you want? What do you want to believe about you? Not the stories. The stories are great to be aware of, but those aren't you. What do you want to believe about you? Who do you want to be?
What are the things you want to do with who you be in this life? Those are all questions to be considering and thinking about. And then learning how to embody those things. I think those are some of the most empowering and powerful, like, concepts that you can take from this.
Yeah, I mean, the way to build a powerful foundation for your life is to implement exactly what you just shared. And that is incredible. So talk to us a little bit about how people can connect with you, where they can find you. How do you work with people? Like, what services do you offer? Talk to us about, you know, what you're giving out and how you're serving.
Yes, the my invitation and offering. So started a company a year ago. And this company is called Inner World Movement. It's inner world healing for outer world results. It's all about this work that we've been talking about implementation. It's like, these are all cool ideas and concepts, but what do we do now? How do we do something about it? And so I have one-on-one sessions. Those are all possibilities. I do invite clients to work with me from anywhere to 3 to 6 months, because it can take time. It took time to create these programs and ideas that you're carrying, and it can take time to undo those. But one session can also be very powerful. So I do one-on-one sessions. I have packages. The most exciting thing right now is the course, the group coaching course, Reclaim You. You know, this is a course that I've been dreaming of for over a decade, and I've invested over $100,000 on my own certification and growth, understanding the tools that work and bringing it together and bringing the best of the best into this program. We'll be talking so much about these exact things we've been talking about: radical accountability, the power of mirrors, how to take your life and use what I call the empowerment cycle to keep you learning and growing through all of the hard things in life, all of the things that we experience, you know, job loss, bankruptcies, relationship things, health issues. You can be empowered through those things. And so we'll be talking about how to trust your intuition. We'll be talking about generational and cultural ideas that we're all carrying that are driving a lot of our life. This, to me, this is such a cool time, Michelle, for us as women. It is incredible. And I get so passionate about this because we have at our fingertips the ability to be Olympic gold medalists, politicians, lawyers, Fortune 500 company owners, just everything.
Vice President of the United States.
Vice President of the United States. And the door is wide open for the first female president, right? We have all of these freedoms now. And we didn't always have that. Do you know, on August 18th, it'll be exactly 101 years since women got the right to vote. That's incredible. Only 100 years, though. And so we have all these freedoms, but the question is, do you have the freedom of mind to believe that you can achieve those things? And in my experience, most women don't. We're held back and bogged down by old patterns that we've been taught that we're weak, that we're less than, that our emotions mean we're weak and we should hide them. All of those things hold us back. And this course is meant to free, to create the freedom of mind for women to really achieve. And I believe if we're meant to see the world change and transform in a beautiful way for us as women, we have to free ourselves, free our minds of those old ways, to then stand in our power as women in a healthy way. We're not going to be pushing others down or men down. They rise with us. We stand with them, and we honor and respect their masculinity too. That's where we're headed. That's where we're going. And so that's what this course is about, is really creating a space for the freedom of mind so that we can believe we can achieve, and therefore we will.
And implement all of these powerful concepts that we've been chatting about. That is amazing. And listeners, as you know, I will hook you up and put all of the links in the show notes, so you can click and go, make it really easy to connect with Dana and learn all about her course, Reclaim You. Did I get that right? Yep, Reclaim You. And really walk in your power and learn the tools and the strategies and the skills to heal and move into the empowerment in your life. I love that. Dana, thank you so much for coming on the show and chatting and really sharing foundational empowerment concepts that are life transforming. It's just so incredible. So thank you so much for making the time and coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Michelle. Thank you for what you're doing to make a difference in the world. I love this space. I love meeting people like you that are on this journey. And it's one of those things like, oh, we're doing this together. We're both making a difference in our own flavor and style. And it's beautiful. And I love synergizing. So thank you for all of your generosity and everything you've done to create a difference and make a difference in the world here.
That's what it's all about. Partnering with like-minded people, because we all are uniquely gifted and nobody can imitate that, because we are born with a unique fingerprint of a gift and talent that we need to release to the world. Listeners, I know you hear me say it all the time, but it's so true. And so I just love when I meet people that validate that, that connect on the same, you know, alignment level. And it's just incredible. So I'm so glad to be connected. Listeners, I know that you are so glad to be connected now. Click the links in the show notes, re-listen to really get the wisdom nuggets that were shared in our conversation, because they're really powerful. And it sounds simplistic, but really Dana gave us ways to actually implement them. And so I encourage you to practice. And then if you need help, reach out and really live in your power, because it's possible. And as I always say, listeners, keep walking, always, always keep walking, never stop walking, because if you continue to walk one step at a time, you will reach your destiny, you will reach your destination. And on the journey, I encourage you to always, always choose gratitude.
As you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes, as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners, where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab on the website. It will take you to the school and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life.